This show is furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and good early morning in Switzerland. I'm Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And I'm telling you, I got a lot of help today to manage your life. Boy, do I have help. First of all, I want to introduce my guest co-host. I'm really excited to have Alicia Krauss with me today. She is a journalist, a radio talk show host, a speaker. She's former co-host with Ben Shapiro and Brian Whitman on The Morning Show, former senior producer of The Sean Hannity Show, outreach director for Prager University, special contributor to The Daily Wire, and she started at WABC in New York, live from Oklahoma in California, the very fashionable Lisa Krauss. Welcome back.
Thanks. This is my, Black Friday surf sweatshirt, and I hope I'm an okay co-host today, because as you know, you can empathize, had a tooth pulled, and the recovery is, having had three home births unmedicated, recovery from getting a tooth pulled and a bone graft is 10 times worse than those combined.
Well, I know our first guest will probably say, if you have a little cannabis, you'll be good. So we'll
never
talk to him about
it. Never done it. Never plan on it.
Well, you
but we
talk
could.
To him
I've heard
it.
He's an expert in it.
He is an expert. But we are going to get to our first guest in 1 second, because he's waiting patiently from Switzerland. We are a worldwide organization here. Later in the show, don't miss Amanda Milius. Amanda Milius is the daughter of John Milius, who is a very well-known screenwriter and director, Apocalypse Now, Dirty Harry, a number of films, The Hunt for Red October, Red Dawn. She's going to talk about her film, The Plot Against the President. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out, Plot Against the President. That's Amanda Milius, and we'll be talking to her in the second half of the show. But first, without further ado, and I know, Alicia, you are excited to talk to Alki David. He is the Alki David, Hollywood's bad boy billionaire. I know you're going to interrupt me, Alki, but let me get a little bit of an intro for you. His companies include Filmon and the Hologram USA. Filmon, of course, a live TV streaming site. Shakya website, you got to check that one out. He has been involved in so many Hollywood ventures. He's also, his family owns the Coca-Cola bottling plants in about 28 countries. He studied film at London's Royal College of Art. Been a little bit of an actor. He's got some lawsuits against him. We're going to talk about that. He's a cannabis business owner. And Alki, I am so thrilled that you stayed up till 2 in the morning in Switzerland just to talk to Alicia and me.
Well, not you.
Thank you.
nice to be on the show. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah,
I love you, Alan Gervie.
Oh, thank you, Alki. That makes, and by the way, you can say that and I'm not going to sue you. But I could, and I happen to be very close with Lisa Bloom, so she might be my attorney. But I got to ask you, Alki, before...
I don't think she's going to be an attorney for very much longer.
Okay, Alki, before we... I got to ask you, there's two... I'm going to
no,
let
I'm
you...
Serious.
I know
I'm
you're serious. Alki, wait. What is more important? I've got to ask you, because we're going to talk about Lisa Bloom and your lawsuits and Gloria Allred, but we're also going to talk about the story on Shakya, on the Dominion election fraud. What do you want to talk about first? Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about first.
Listen, the most important thing is what is happening in our country, all right? And what is happening in the world. That is what is most important. And right now, today, our president signed the Insurrection Act. And very soon... General Flynn will be our vice president. And we are under attack right now. Even this brand, even ABC, is a foreign-owned entity. The problem in America today is foreign ownership that was changed in 2013 under the Obama administration, which by now, very soon, you'll be hearing a lot of news about Obama's complicity with Tehran, the communist, the Chinese Communist Party, Deutsche Bank, who have really funded through Chinese Communist Party the majority of the acquiring of our media interests in America and around the world. Most major media interests like ABC, NBC, Fox, all of them are now ostensibly Beijing controlled. The company that you work for is ostensibly Beijing controlled, and this opiate Marxist approach to opiate of the masses has been, you know, brilliant. They've been doing push-ups for 70 freaking years, and this right now, ladies and gentlemen, is what we are experiencing as the mass. You know, I mean, BTS is now Entertainer of the Year on Time Magazine. Come on, everybody.
So you have an issue with non-Americans being entertainers?
No, ma'am, absolutely not. What I have an issue with is non-American owned news services posing as American news services, whereas in fact they are new. Now, it goes well beyond that. It goes down to the fabric of our very cultural existence. When BTS is Entertainer of the Year on Time Magazine, it's obscene. And I'll tell you why. Because both entities, the music companies, the distribution companies, the platforms that promote them are all China-owned. And that is the fundamental problem of the cultural issue, right? Okay. But the major issue, which I published on Film On, is the PCR test scandal, which has been aided and abetted by Pfizer, the German CDC, and Deutsche Bank. As a result of that, the tests are causing the global pandemic.
So I gotta ask you first. Yeah. I need to circle back because you said at the top of the segment that General Flynn is soon to be the vice president of the United States because President Donald Trump, who of course is outgoing President Donald Trump, is signing the Insurrection Act. I'm in the news a lot. I know a lot of people in the news. I've not heard anything about this. So if you could give us a source, that would be fascinating.
Alicia, I'm surprised you caught that. I thought Alki was just going to get by on that. By the way, Alki, I want you to answer that. You know, in terms of your situation, why are you in Switzerland, first of all? And you are a Greek billionaire, and you're so pro-America. It's really impressive.
I have four beautiful American sons. I'm married to a beautiful American woman. I grew up my entire life, being a Coca-Cola bottler. So, you know, figure that out.
All right, now go to Alicia's question. It's a tougher one than mine.
All right. So, Alicia, I am here in Switzerland. I'm in a part of the world where I can tell you categorically right now in Italy, there is an insurrection of itself going on.
Uh-huh.
I'm just thinking about what I can say that's public right now. I'll tell you.
Well, you specifically said that Michael Flynn is going to be vice president of the United States and that Trump is signing an insurrection act.
All you have to do is get on Google. Look for a few notable people that have commented on this today. This is news that is out there. The only reason why you don't know it's not being shoved down your throat by a Beijing narrative.
I'm on Google right now, sir.
Hold on, Alki. You know me. I allow for anything. You said you shouldn't say it. Go ahead. Just tell, you know, this is a chance that you can say whatever you want. People are smart enough out there to figure out they want to believe.
Alan, the reason why I said that is because I know certain information right now, what's going on the ground right here directly with the White House, that I have to be really careful to say as to what it is that I can say. Because right now I can tell you that since the scandal broke in Rome, regarding the Leonardo system tampering, the head of IT, Leonardo's head of IT, being in jail, being surrounded by protection, Pompeo being here today, I'll tell you, there's an awful lot of stuff that is happening regarding the Obama administration's involvement with the Vatican, involved with Tehran, involved with the funding of this entire COVID scamdemic. What we are experiencing now, ladies and gentlemen, is a scam that has been constructed and created, politically motivated, but funded by criminal organizations like Deutsche Bank. If you want to get very, very specific information, you can go to filmon.com/PCR test, and you will be able to watch very serious. In fact, you should start maybe at PCR test two, number two. That there you'll meet a lawyer called Rainer Fulmich, who's a very respected German, former German prosecutor, who has brought a large global lawsuit, a tort lawsuit against Deutsche Bank, Kuhnage, and Volkswagen, who you will see are evidenced as criminal organizations today.
How come this is not being censored? Why is this not being censored? Because everything else is, right?
What do you mean, not being censored?
Your film on, you can go, you're telling people they can go right now and check it out. You have not had any issues for Shakya or film on with respect to like what Parler is dealing with Google, Apple, and Amazon?
Bro, I'm my own platform.
Yeah, but they down. So is Parler, but then Apple and Google servers were able to remove them.
Fuck them. Excuse me. Fuck them.
What happened to you? Alk, are you there?
You want to your phone in case you meet some kind of social network marking designed by Mr. Zuckerberg that's going to
okay.
Force you to wear a fucking mask. Wearing a mask.
Okay. Okay, we need to take a break. Alka, you need to calm down. Take a
certain
little hit.
Certain words are censored
we're still
here
censored.
In the United States.
We cannot get around it. Alki will be back in a second. I don't want to say what you're listening to on this station, but you're listening to a radio program, and it's on a station. Come back and see what happens after this.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we are back, surprisingly so. For those of you listening, and I'm getting a lot of texts, if you want to call in, it's 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. We are talking to someone who has one of the most interesting Instagrams around. That's Alki David. What if people want to follow
you
on Instagram?
About me.
No, Alicia Krauss. Yes. Alki, how can people find all? Because we don't have a whole lot of time. We want to talk about Lisa Bloom and Gloria Allred. But before we do, let's finish this topic. Tell them your Instagram account so they can follow you and tell us the bottom line on what we're going to see in this country. Regarding a lot of these conspiracy issues that come up.
Well, look, if you want to get some really, really well-researched data, I put out a live feed every day. It's quite entertaining right here from Switzerland while I'm here visiting. And a lot of the evidence that you're asking about, you can see on my feed, in fact, right now, which is AL, Alpha Lima Kilo India, Delta Alpha Victor India Delta, which is Alki David. And I'm verified, so you can... You can probably find me quite easily. Just type out ALKI.
All right.
You'll be all right.
All right. Alicia, go ahead.
Yeah, so you wanted to talk about Lisa Bloom and Gloria Allred, and I have to say, I mean, way back in the olden days when I used to book a Hannity radio, I used to book Gloria a lot, and professionally she was always polite, but, you know, I would say that Lisa and Gloria and I don't really see eye to eye on a lot of things. But Alki, I got to say, after reading all the court documents and stuff, a broken clock can still be right twice a day. And it sure as heck looks like, even if you feel targeted, that they had some legitimate accusations against you from former employees.
Sure, they had legitimate accusations when they're based on total perjury. Now, here's the good news. Are you ready? So Tuesday, Lisa Bloom has still not answered to the response that I filed on the debtor's examination, of which I've never paid a single freaking penny to anybody and never will. Lisa Bloom has completely, Lisa Bloom and Gloria Allred are a pair of crooks. They should be in jail. They have, in wholesale, committed fraud on a daily basis with innocent people or through, you know, and I don't know how long it's gone on for. I know that I've certainly experienced it. Now, here's the evidence, right? So Tuesday, they haven't responded to a fantastic lawsuit put together by Fred Heather and his team at Glass of Wild. So Patty Glacier and a bunch of other partners are very supportive of this of my response. My response is the following: that we caught Lisa Bloom lying twice to Judge Ungekko in the LA Superior Court, lying twice to him on very, very specific things, like Chastity Jones's hiding of her $180,000 restitution she had to pay for bank fraud, things, and that Lisa Bloom lied about that, you know, lots of things that, that they lied about, but also we have evidence of, here we go, of two former employees who Lisa Bloom has tried to coerce, who actually joined these lawsuits. You know, you can't fire anybody in California without getting a lawsuit, for one, all right? The system is so corrupt and so broken, and you as lawyers, you should be ashamed of yourselves if you can't acknowledge that.
Well, I'm a college dropout, so I can acknowledge that, and I've actually been fired and didn't sue for it, and have fired somebody and didn't get sued, so...
I should have dropped out of college.
Yeah, but you know what? You're not a target, young lady, so grow up.
I'm a target. By the way, Lisa Bloom will be on our show next week to respond, so we're looking forward to that.
But and I'm glad Alki thinks I'm young.
Keep going, Alki.
I feel very old.
You're not. Alki's old. Go, Alki.
I'm old. I'm
yeah,
old.
Yeah, yeah. You look good, though, man.
Not bad. Not bad. 86.
Hashtag fake news.
Come on, I'm distracted. This lawyer is distracting you. That's
Gloria
what I do Allred best. Go ahead.
Allred is a lying, listen, Gloria Allred is a lying sack of shit.
Oh, well.
Alki, we are. We're on the radio. Have you ever heard of the FCC?
Gloria Allred is on our show quite a bit, so she can respond to that. But go ahead. We like evidence. I give everyone an equal shot here. I want to hear the evidence.
FCC should be ashamed of themselves, all right? When under you know, listen, in 2013, a decades-old rule that was sacrosanct at the FCC was changed, which was the foreign ownership rule, right? In 2013, during the Obama administration, it was very, very calculated. After changing that rule, it was a tsunami of Chinese investment into the United States. Comcast Ventures, one of the largest companies in America right now, owns over 120 major American properties. This company is ostensibly fully China funded, as is General Electric. IBM is fully China owned by Lenovo. There are NBC, Comcast is fully China owned now through Comcast Ventures. All the messaging that you are getting is hugely influenced by these large mainstream platforms that whose sole desire is to dominate our societies, both culturally. Politically now, here's the big one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Comcast Ventures is one of the largest investors in the U.S. penal system. How about that? Would you like China owning the U.S. penal system? That is the reality today.
So, Alki, if you're so concerned about this, obviously you've heard about Parler and how Apple and Amazon and Google and others are saying that they are not adhering to the rules of their servers and therefore removing them from their servers, therefore effectively removing a
free
third
speech,
an app. Would you be willing to invest in Parler and provide them a place to have their app?
He can do it himself.
I do it myself already at filmon.com, right? You know, I mean, and we're constantly...
Yeah, but it's not as big as Parler. Parler, you know, for conservative thought...
No, I love Parler. Listen, I love Parler. I use Parler. I use Instagram. I use all platforms that I can to get as much messaging as I can get out. And it should be everybody's responsibility who's a little bit awake to get up and pull your finger out and decide whether you want to be... Listen, anybody... I'm not old enough to remember the war, but I'm an expert on the Second World War. I can tell you categorically that people's apathy led them to the gas chambers. All right, people's apathy led entire nations to be completely devastated, for entire civilizations to be wiped out, purely because of apathy. So if you're listening to this right now, you know that we are days away from complete Chinese takeover. There are 75,000 Chinese troops on the border, on the Canadian-U.S. border today. Xi Jinping offered the leftist psychopaths, right, who are all China-funded. In fact, all the extreme right is all China-funded as well. And the whole system is designed to create division in our society.
What extreme right-wing outlets do you think are funded by the Chinese government? Because I've worked with quite a few, and I can guarantee you that none of the money and the funding came from China.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding, sir. I could name them right now.
Look at the room you're sitting in right now.
Alan, are you funded by China?
You've sat in this room. You brought your cameras in this room.
Pay attention. Look at the clothes that you are wearing. They are all, everything around you is mostly Chinese made. Okay?
Yes, so but you made an accusation about right-wing media.
My stuff, everything I'm wearing is Canadian made right here. Bauer. I'm wearing Bauer equipment.
Madewell says it's made in America.
Well, you know, it's hard to, Alki, I think a lot of people find it a little bit difficult to believe that that this is imminent, that the Chinese takeover is imminent.
Listen, I'm aware of what they've been doing in Africa, the African continent, for the last 20 years. I understand that they are encroaching on liberties and freedoms every single day and definitely want an economic and probably political hold over many countries in the world. I'm not a dumb blonde there, okay? But I'm just saying that some of the things that you are espousing, I would like to know where the evidence exists. And one of the things that you said was going after right-leaning media organizations. And having worked for many right-leaning media organizations, I have seen no evidence of Chinese money funding those organizations.
God damn it, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I didn't say go after them. I didn't say that at all. They should exist. Right, extreme right and extreme left should always exist. People's freedom of speech should always exist. That is our very, very fundamental human right. Always there should be left and right and middle and up and down. Whatever the hell you are, you should be. Absolutely. You should have the freedom to be whatever the hell you think you are.
I just got a text. I just got a text, Alki, that says, my producer is Chinese.
I have two of my closest friends in the world are Chinese.
Genevieve,
you know, China is a multi-layered society of 80 different major tribes, all multi-layered, all different ethnicities. The Uyghurs are completely, you know, castigated and oppressed and, you know, murdered, you know, by the Chinese Communist Party. So, you know, give me a break. You know, there are within China, there are huge swathes of people that are dying to change their system.
All right. You know, it's a bigger question that we have time for, but we have 1 minute. Let's wrap it up in 1 minute. Tell us what you think the future is, and you can break it down 30 seconds with Lisa Bloom and 30 seconds. What happened?
Same. What? What's that?
Okay. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour. We have to get to the news, so we'll have to listen. Alki, thanks for being with us in Switzerland. Good luck there, and we'll look forward to catching up and hearing about all your ventures as we move forward.
Hey, Alan, where can I get a link of this so I can blast this out? Because that was a great show. Thank you.
Chinese producer Genevieve Wong.
All right.
She'll text you.
Ni hao, everybody.
Ni hao. I think that's Japanese. We'll be right back. You're listening to a program on a radio station that I'm not going to name.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Wow. Now I know what they mean when they say don't quit your day job. I'm looking forward to going back to the law practice. I just had a court of appeal case filed on Friday, which I'm going to be the respondent because we were on the right end of the stick. So I'm going to look. I've never looked forward to filing a response in the court of appeal as I am now after that last segment.
That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe my idea of fun and your idea of fun are a little different.
Wayman doesn't think it's fun. He's the guy on the button, and apparently his finger
is sore.
Is very sore. He needs to go to get that taken care of because he was pushing the button. And Alki was actually pushing our buttons. So I'm not sure what happened to Amanda Milius. I'm going to talk a little bit about her. Is she on the line or what? I don't know. This is live radio. Alicia's
and experiencing it. And sometimes guests just, don't show, and sometimes they're late, or they forget.
She may have been listening to the first half of the show.
Maybe she's like, I don't want that Alicia lady asking me questions.
I don't think it's that. But you could be an attorney. Your questions are great. And in fact, last week when we had Steve Donziger on, Ben Massilius, what am I saying?
Sometimes a brain freeze happens.
Marcellus was asking the tough questions.
Really?
So I'm just the guy who presses the buttons here and now...
Host the show and...
I don't host the show. I'm just pressing buttons. Let's talk about Amanda Milius. We're thrilled to have her on. I don't know if she had an opportunity to listen to the first half of the show, but if she did, anything that she says right now is going to be so welcomed. As long as it doesn't have a four-letter word in it, Amanda came out with a really important film, a documentary called Plot Against the President, based on Lee Smith's 2019 book. She is the daughter of John Milius, and I know she hears that all the time because he has been a legend, screenwriter, director in Hollywood. Films like Apocalypse Now, Dirty Harry, Conan the Barbarian, Hunt for Red October, Red Dawn, which we seem to be living in right now, The Wind and the Lion, Jaws, Clear and Present Danger. And that's the environment she grew up in. And a woman after my own heart, studying philosophy and film over at New School University. She was a fashion photographer, and I guess now she's doing a lot more important work, but I would be remiss if I didn't say she joined the Trump administration as what she calls a chief propagandist, acting deputy assistant for content and public affairs, which I guess sounds like a chief propagandist.
I mean, Obama had a few of those, so Trump wasn't the first one to do it.
That's true. And I think...
Remember his social media czars?
When people can talk about what they did and have a little bit of... levity to it. I think that's good. She did a film called The Lotus Gun is her thesis film from USC, which is really quite good. And the Plot Against the President is, like I said, people should see it. She calls Steven Spielberg her Uncle Steven. So there you have it. We had Frank Marshall on, who started Amblin Entertainment with Steven Spielberg a couple weeks ago. So it's all in the family. Now I'm going to let Amanda speak, and I'm going to introduce her. I'm not going to be like Sebastian Gorka, who she was interviewed with not too long ago, who just didn't let her speak. He kept interrupting her. It must be so aggravating being interviewed when you can't speak. Amanda, do you want to speak? Welcome to Gervie's Law.
No, I love, you have to understand, Sebastian's one of my oldest friends in D.C., so I cut him off plenty at the dinner table, so he gets to cut me off on his show. It's fine.
It's a privilege, right?
Yes. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I got to warn you, sadly, I wasn't able to listen to the earlier part of the show, so you're going to have to cue me in.
Just go back and listen later. Just as long as you are as kind and open with your dialogue as you are now, it will all be fine. We just had to exercise the dump button a few times.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, yeah. I will be on my best behavior.
Yeah. So anything that you have if your father was ever blacklisted or anything for his political beliefs, anything that you've thought that people have thought differently of you because of your political disposition, you have no idea what happened in the first half hour with, I don't know, what would you say Alki David is? He's right of right.
I don't even know that he's right of right. I think he believes any and all conspiracies at all time.
Definitely.
While allegedly harassing employees and living in Switzerland.
Okay. Anyway, let's get away from the harassing employees. Let's talk a little bit about the Plot Against the President. Do you believe, Amanda, if it would have been, would have come out quicker and would have gotten more widespread? And now people can see it. I think I watched it on Prime Video. I don't know where else you can watch it. But do you think it had an impact? And maybe if more people saw it, the president would have been reelected?
Well, You know, that's if you believe that the election was transparent and not riddled with fraud and foreign interference. So I can't exactly answer that one because I think it was. But speaking of believing conspiracies, but I'll try to be a little more measured.
Tell us what you think.
Go ahead. We're already in the dumpster.
I worked on this election, so I've seen it up close. I think it would have come out earlier. I mean, I think Amazon held on to it for political reasons because it was, controversial in their mind, or I don't know what they were doing. It's very similar to what's going on now. I can't say that it wasn't a little bit of a precursor, but there's been much more significant precursors to what's happening now online, and with Parler being removed from, AWS and things like that. Than our movie being held up. I mean, that was the most effect, that mattered to me and my team and to our investors and everything else. That mattered to us the most and to our audience. But, I'm trying to, when we got kicked off of Twitter for a full 24 hours, so far we still have an account. But there was precursors to this that were much bigger. I think it was political. I mean, obviously, I don't see any other reason. It didn't happen to any other of the hundreds of titles that my distributor has on Amazon. So, at least it's up. It's on as of right now. You can still watch it on Amazon Prime. It's on Vimeo on demand. Amazon Prime's kind of the easiest one because people all have it on their televisions.
Yep.
But it's also on two, and this is important now, it's up on two free speech-friendly platforms. They're subscription services, so you have to pay per month, and they have different, they have a lot of different content on them. But Plot Against the President premiered on two subscription platforms. One of them is called My Movies Plus. The other one's called specialproject.io. And boy, are those going to come in handy soon. So yeah. I really suggest following them and supporting them. That's why we supported them.
Yeah, Amanda, that's part of my question is, I mean, Parler, obviously, after Election Day, and then, of course, after the events of this week and the crackdown that was happening on social media, you had people like myself that, I always think that foreign entities interfere. I've interviewed congressmen, including Representative Dan Crenshaw, about this in the past. I don't know that all of the allegations made by the Trump campaign are validated. And obviously some courts have decided that as well. But I think that as an American, we should be cautious of any election interference, right? I wasn't okay with what the president has been saying since Election Day or thought that it was 100% true, it's weird that Emily Ratajkowski, hardcore leftist, has sided with you and me saying, hey, shouldn't we be a little concerned when a handful of dudes up at the top are able to censor the president of the United States? So I think a lot of conservatives were rushing over to Parler, but now they're essentially shut down. So where do conservatives go from here to be able to share our views and communicate with one another?
I think being that conservatives are kind of the party of entrepreneurs, I think that there's a lot of people scrambling to put stuff together. Even just amongst the people I know, there's things going on kind of under the current that I think are going to make themselves obvious soon. And I don't know that it'll be immediate, but I think that solutions are going to arise. But I don't know... In the meantime, what exactly we can do, we've got Gab, which is suffering from, the huge amounts of people that are joining right now. And so they're trying to ramp up and scale up, which I think is probably going to happen first. And then you've got Parler, which I think is probably going to be down for at least a week. But, we have to go to these other platforms. We have to support the free speech platforms. I'm amazed at Emily coming out for us. That is actually kind of a cool thing. I got to say, she looks like a super genius right now. So applause to her.
To your point,
that's what you would expect from some of these liberals. You would say, like, what is so liberal about, shutting down speech? It just, if their ideas are so good, why do they have to shut down their opposition? It just doesn't really make a ton of sense.
To your point, Amanda, of finding solutions and people getting together, is it true that you actually put together 35 interviews in a month and a half before the film Plot Against the President was released? And if so, don't you have some confidence that the intellectuals in the party and with that type of thought will be able to figure out this onslaught, as you say, the blow to free speech?
Yeah, I mean, I did do that. That was part of the deal is we did, I think we did like 35 or 40 interviews in about a month and a half. And we made the whole movie in like insane record time, you know, because we had to. I do believe that we will come out on top eventually, because I think that I might actually sound a little bit like an optimist tonight if I'm in these extremely dark times. But
I'll take it. I need some optimism right now.
You know, I don't know why. Maybe it's because I happen to be on vacation at the moment, so I finally feel okay. I'm not in D.C., so I don't feel like just totally disgusted by the world. I think that, you know, I don't know how soon it'll happen, but good eventually comes out on top. But it can get really dark before that happens. The problem is we're not just competing intellectually. The scales are not balanced. The playing field is not balanced. We have everything working against us. All corporations, all basically everybody in D.C., every institute of government, all of the education institutes, the media. I mean, you couldn't have a more stacked deck. But, you know, I'll still take those odds with people that like freedom and believe in the Constitution and believe in the United States. I'd still rather be with that side. I'm not jumping ship anytime soon.
And Amanda, where do you think that entertainment goes from here? Because I've recently interviewed some comedians, and I think that thankfully you have people like the Joe Rogans and the Adam Carollas of the world, even the Bill Burrs, that are kind of like, okay, we're going to tell the jokes. We're going to be funny because that's our job, is to be the, you know, the people that make you uncomfortable, but also make you laugh. But on a broader scale, you've talked about how your documentary was suppressed, how other movies are suppressed. Daily Wire is releasing their first feature film this week, and there's already talk about how, you know, people want to suppress that because of the content of it. Is there hope for even leftists and centrists in Hollywood to keep creating good art and creating art for all instead of just a small pocket of people that believe just like them?
I don't think so. And I think they've been made thoroughly irrelevant. I mean, the audience wants what I'm selling. They don't really want what they're selling. Their audience is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, and mine is growing and growing. All I have to overcome is people knowing where to find the movie and that it exists. But I have the entire country wants to see my movie. And that's been evident by the fact that it's the number one streaming documentary on, you know, at all ever on Amazon. So in the world. So I don't, and there with no press virtually and absolutely no advertising. And, you know, it's just word of mouth. And that's how starved people are for quality content that isn't totally ideologically backwards. But, you know, and these Hollywood has just made itself irrelevant. I mean, they're doing this paint by numbers thing. They're not going to win with that. Nobody finds any attachment to these movies that come out these days. Like, no one's favorite movie came out in the last 2 years. It's like, or however long. It's like, you know, that you saw their requirements for a film to be considered for the Oscars. And it's like, it must have one person of color behind each, you know, camera, and there must be this many actors who are women, or what, men, this many women behind the camera, and this many actors that are of this national makeup. And it's
the quotas.
The most absurd thing. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting. I mean, it's just so to distill people down to their features that way is just so dark. It's so creepy.
Well, and I think as a woman, you and I could agree, like, we'd never want to be just distilled down to our gender.
No, I always thought it was such a joke, that stuff, when I got out of film school, and they always had like, oh, you should apply for this grant for women directors. And you're like, I would be embarrassed to do that. It'd be like being in the Special Olympics. No, I'm not doing that. Thank you. And then, you know, lo and behold, nobody, all of their like hemming and hawing about women in Hollywood and the, you know, record-breaking documentary is made by produced and directed by a woman. And we don't hear a peep out of their glass ceiling you know, Shatterwatch folks, is, you know, you've just heard nothing. Whereas if this, you know, if this was like a left-wing documentary, it would have been all over the place. But I actually, you know, I think it's good the way it is. I think, you know, I think the movie stands on its own. That's what I would want. I'm not very interested in being super out front with it. You know, I'm not in the documentary. I would never do the Dinesh thing where you're like walking around in the Lincoln Memorial, like pondering things to yourself and like you're in the movie. Like, I don't, it's not about me. So I'm just glad that the movie's doing well and people are seeing it.
All right. Well, we have to take a quick break, Amanda. You tweet at Amanda_Milius if people want to find out more.
Actually, that's my Instagram. I don't tweet at all, but the Plot Against the President account, which is PATP Movie, that is where you can find most of my secret musings and all of the information about our film.
And it hasn't been censored at this point? You're still able to?
Not yet. I just tweeted out about this interview, so far we're still okay. But
yeah, well, we tried to put an ad for this interview on Facebook and boost it, but of course it was rejected. And wow. I don't know, Amanda, if it was you or Alki David, but Facebook people certainly will not let Gervie's Law advertise on Facebook when we talk about these things. So, but we will talk more after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Everyone I know goes away in the end.
Yeah, I guess that's President Trump's ode. Go ahead, Alicia. You want to say something?
Oh, I was just saying, like, just Men in Black. Johnny, you can't go wrong with that.
All right.
I don't know if Trump has good enough music taste. I don't know, because the media never asked Trump lovingly what his music tastes were, like they did for Michelle and Barack. And Barack still releases, former President Obama still releases his musical playlist, which is like that of my mother, a 64-year-old white woman from Oklahoma.
Amanda, you worked in the yes. Trump administration. Can you respond quickly to Alicia's concern about Trump's personal life and his music?
No, but I can say that I really like his little YMCA dance he's been doing this last year. I got to say, I think that's a cultural moment that I wouldn't want to miss. I like that. He picks the music, or at least in the beginning, they have a very particular playlist at the rallies. And there's a very particular order that the songs go in, and they're really cool. It's a lot of Rolling Stones. I really like that. So I think that's probably a good... We know that he loves the Rolling Stones, so yeah, I'm down with that.
Amanda, talking about your career, though, I know you said that politics is more important than culture. And while it's fun...
No, I said... I back it up. I said Andrew Breitbart used to say, Washington is downstream from Hollywood. And I said that was 100% true up until Trump. And then all of a sudden, politics became more important than culture and impacted culture in the reverse way. The river went upstream, if you will.
So, you know, when we were talking earlier about, unpopular beliefs in Hollywood, was your father, John Milius, blacklisted at all? Or are you concerned that with your political disposition that it will be harder to make films, as maybe your father had a problem with, although with all the lists of films that he was involved with, apparently not?
Well, he got more political as he, I think he became more overtly political as time went on. And so his career ended really early, though. I mean, he stopped working well before, like, retirement age. I was talking about this actually on the Brady Sinelis show the other day, which is that this has always been one of these little mysteries of people either asking about my dad or in our family or whatever. It's exactly why did his career end the way it did. And there's a handful of reasons. I mean, I think it's a mashup of a few things. And I think politics is definitely one of them, because also, the times were changing. Mid-80s or early 90s or whatever it was that, like, he kind of tied up his career. He was still writing, and he wrote Rome, I think, after that, which was on HBO. But times were changing. Hollywood was changing. They weren't going to put up with the kind of eccentricities that he has and his way of working, in addition to his politics. And, I mean, the political divide just began growing, I think, even back then. I'm not exactly sure what happened. I mean, nobody really is exactly sure. He's also a very eccentric guy. There's a lot of reasons why he may not have been able to get some of these other projects made for many, many years after things like Red Dawn, which is weird because it was his biggest hit, I think, financially. But no, I'm not worried for myself because I already abandoned that idea. Like, you don't leave, you don't go to USC film school. You know, I have a master's degree from USC. You don't go to USC film school and then tour your independent film around and then the next, you know, month join the Trump administration and expect to come back. Like, I'll never go back to Los Angeles again.
So where will you go? Like, what do you, because you talked about, obviously culture is so important, entertainment is so important part of your life, but also so is politics. So what do you plan on doing next?
Well, my production company, 1AMDC, is actually located in Washington. Well, technically it's in Virginia. So I'll be working there amongst other places, but really I can work wherever I want because Hollywood has no, there's no reason to be in Hollywood anymore. Like, you can make movies from anywhere. I can't even imagine making movies in that machine anymore. It just sounds stifling and depressing and like going up a down escalator.
Amanda, do you have we only have a couple of minutes. Do you have an idea for the next film? Can you make another film on Trump or are you moving on?
We have a Trump-ish related project that deals with a lot of recent events. But we've got three movies coming up in the next year.
Wow.
So those are going to be spaced out over the year. And then we have five smaller projects that will be done. And again, I'm producing most of that. I don't know how many of those I'm going to direct. Frankly, I didn't even plan to direct the one I did direct, but we'll see. I'll pick something. I'm trying to just make it through this period without any kind of catastrophes. So I think once things settle down a bit, we'll know what the production company is going to do. But it looks good.
And people can watch A Plot Against the President. There's no no problem right now if people haven't seen it. It may be a little bit too late for this election, but it really is an eye-opening piece. And you talk about it in the beginning of the film, the peaceful transfer of power. So if anyone wants to check that out and see whether or not when Devin Nunez talks about peaceful transfer of power, whether that's actually going to happen or not. As we let you go, what do you have to say that?
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting to hear people who did not allow this president to have a peaceful transfer of power or a peaceful presidency to be talking about that. I think there's a lot of irony going on these days, and happy to get into that another time. And thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for being with us, Amanda Milius. Alicia Krauss, thank you. This has been quite a show.
Sure has.
We'll see you next week with Lisa Bloom right here on Gervie's Law.
This show is furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.